KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN, 97.5, Agao Media Station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry till 4. We're here at Saltgrass in Meyerland on the 610 feeder road as we get you down to business with what you should do for the rest of your day from 4 to 6 p.m. They've got a great early dinner menu that you want to be a part of with all-inclusive dinner specials, happy hours, all things going. The pretty people are all at the bar already lining up for the rest of the day, trying to get some drinks in before the happy hour crowd. But there's also a great happy hour here. So head over to Saltgrass in Meyerland and be a part of the big show. We're here till 4. And we had Quinton Demps earlier, the Texans defensive back who is on the mend. The bye week came at the right time. He's getting ready to play, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Barry, this is the craziest thing, you know, because we keep it organic. So during the breaks, we try not to talk too much about what we're going to talk about.
Right.
So that when we talk about it for the first time on the radio, it's a fresher take for you guys.
Yeah, it makes it more – it doesn't seem as scripted,
but
right?
John thinks everything I do is scripted. But then the question becomes, why does it always end up where I get the still more stories from Barry on the road in which they're genuinely disturbing and people literally want to violate you on the road when you are doing your hobby?
Well, okay, now it's not a hobby. I get paid to do comedy.
I know, but I mean, this is your career.
Well.
Okay, so of your many careers, your other career venture.
Yeah. Yeah,
takes
you
on the road, and it seems like every time you head out on the road, you head back with more than just a disease. You come back with stories that are like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. If you missed it, I was in El Paso, and a swinger couple tried to take me
to Juarez. That was earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, and so this past week, I was in Fort Worth at the Hyenas Comedy Club up there for the weekend. And, well, first of all, I went to get my hair cut while I was there. And the chick that cut my hair did such a horrible job that while I was in, you know, I normally cut my hair every week.
I'm looking at it going, how could you hack that up?
Well, yeah, it's super easy. It's like you put the clippers on a half and you just go until there's no hair left. And so it, you would think it wouldn't be that hard to mess up, but there was like streaks. It looked like it was horrible. It looked like a rice paddy field. It was just there was just lines and rows everywhere. So I finally just had to embarrass her in front of everyone. I was like, just give me the clippers. And so I ended up finishing my own haircut in the Supercuts.
So they do have do-it-yourself haircuts on
the
road.
I had to turn it in. I even tipped myself because I did such a good job at the end. But
I don't want to know how you did that. That's something that you probably did in the privacy of your own room. But
let's just say there was a hot towel treatment involved.
Oh,
anyways, so I had to cut my own hair, which was weird. And then the host of the show. So, like, when you're doing comedy, the host of the show goes up and he does, like, 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes or whatever. And then they're supposed to bring you up. And in comedy, what you do is they'll bring you up and they'll give some credits that you have, which is supposed to establish credibility or whatever.
Resume
else, right?
And whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so when people ask me what my credits are, I just say, just tell them I do ESPN Radio in Houston. And that's what I usually give out right now. I mean, I've not been on TV doing comedy yet. I'm still new. I'm 3 years in. So that comes later. So this guy's like, oh, okay. And he's probably 75, 80 years old. Just old, old, old man. And so every time he brings me up, he's like, first of all, he never gets my name right.
And he's like, the host of the show?
Yeah. He's like, your next comic, you've seen him in the NFL. And I'm like, what? Yeah.
Oh, that's when you and Quinton Demps were playing in the secondary together. I get it.
I have a strong safety. Obviously, I have the body of a strong safety. And he's like, yeah, you've seen him in the NFL, Barry Limrow. And I'm like, first of all, not in the NFL. Second of all, that's not a name. My Laminack, like, he just had no idea what he was doing. So I'd had literally have to start off my show by explaining to people, no, the chubby white dude has never played in the NFL. That is not a thing.
This just old man, the size of the strong safety frame that you carry.
It's that strong safety frame I have that threw him off. But anyways, so after a show on Friday, I usually go out. I have these koozies that I sell that have one of the jokes that I have in that I do on stage is on a koozie. So I go and sell them and hang out and talk to people after the show. And this one lady comes up to me, and it's her and her either a husband or boyfriend. I have no idea, but they're a couple. And so she comes up and she shakes my hand and she's like, hey, I enjoyed the show. And I'm like, that's great. And then she kind of steps around me and her husband reaches out his hand to shake my hand. He's like, hey, I enjoyed it. And about the time that I shake this dude's hand, his wife or girlfriend grabs my butt and squeezes, like, hard squeezes. Not just gentle. And then I'm like, whoa, so I wasn't expecting that. And he goes,
Michelle wasn't expecting that right now either in front of us listening
to this
story.
And this dude goes, oh, yeah, she's crazy. And I was like, yeah. And so I try to, like, pull in, you know, like I'm trying to get away. And she's got, like, a
death grip. Well, I thought pulling in like you were nuzzling in there.
No. She's got, like, a death grip on just a cheek. And I'm like, wow, this is really awkward. And then I wish I was making this up. But then she tried to put her finger
in the doorbell?
And yeah, she tried to ring the doorbell. She tried to
ring the back door.
She tried to phone home.
Oh boy, E.T., look out.
And I was like, "What the hell are you doing?" And I turn around and she's making this face like, you ever tried to get like there's like a bolt that's stuck, you know, and your upper lip goes above the teeth because you're trying so hard.
It's called the white man's overbite, to an extent.
She's doing that with this grip and I'm like, "You're really into this." And I was like,
literally not in enough, but she was trying.
I'm like, what are you doing? And she had no explanation. And her husband or whatever's looking at me. And I'm like, what?
There's the other factor in the story. Her husband or whatever is there and partaking by allowing this?
I have no idea why this happens to me. I really don't. It's the weird. It almost makes me want to quit comedy. But it does make for good stories later. But it's the, I'm like, wow, Fort Worth is freakier than El Paso. Who would have thought?
Yeah, ever would have guessed that. Although, I think when you get into the El Paso region in general, though, you kind of expect it more than Fort Worth. Because Fort Worth is so close to Dallas.
Yeah, and they're fancy up there. Fort Worth
is a very
fancy place.
Yeah, it's kind of River Oaks-y all the
time. Yeah, not a place I would expect her to be trying to hide a knuckle, if you know what I mean. That was weird.
Yeah, that's disturbing all in a nutshell, so to speak.
Alrighty.
That's a tad bit disturbing. Anything flying on the text messages that you want to cover?
A couple of things. Somebody said their Halloween costume was a shirt. This guy is scary. I don't know what that means. All right. Somebody said when I was 15, I got lazy and used my Boy Scout uniform as a Halloween costume. Somebody was backing up the funness of the WWE video game, saying that it's real fighting when it's a video game. Not in real life.
Of course it is.
But it's real in the video game. So take that for what it's worth.
Silly me.
Yeah, what were you thinking, Joel? Mm. So, Yo Adrian said, hey, man, I had the ColecoVision, Atari 2600, and the Commodore 64. Adrian, you were balling out of control, man. Those were all fun.
Not like he stopped now. He's still driving the unmarked squad car.
No,
that's El Jefe.
Yeah, that's right. Josh. Scott in Deer Park said, I had the original Pong and left it on one day and actually burnt the screen on the giant Magnavox Entertainment Center. Yeah, that was something
we were talking
about.
That was a big thing. Like, you would go to, like, certain stores, too. Like, I remember going to Gallery Furniture, and they were talking about a big screen TV, but they said, now, are you going to play video games on this? And I'm like, no, why? And they go, because this is one of those sets where if you keep playing the same video game over and over again, it will leave indelible marks on your screen from the video game.
Yeah, it burns them in. It's like that's why you have TVs now with screensavers and stuff, because I don't think it happened. It could happen on, like, plasma TVs, but, like, these LCDs and stuff like that, they can't do that anymore. But, yeah, that used to be a thing.
It surely did.
Yeah, and Pong was Pong is old school, man. Wow. That's real old
school. By the way, did you see the fact that the Rockets game was moved up to 5 o'clock tonight? They're playing the Cavaliers. They are the reigning champions.
So they're
going to be in the same city at the same time as the World Series. So because people in Cleveland were concerned about that and they were worried about traffic overflow and the Rockets have to get out of town, they're going to tip off at 5 p.m. tonight.
Central
at
time
the
or
Q
East?
Central.
Okay.
And, oh, by the way, right next door, and you've seen it on the overheads, right next door, the World Series will be going on between the Cubs and the Indians. So by the time they get done, it's going to be about the fourth inning of a World Series game. That's going to be kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is cool, man. Congrats to Cleveland for actually having some relevancy in sports the last 12 months.
Well, like
Good
we said,
them.
Could
that
be number one in basketball, could be number one in baseball, and
could
be
have
number one pick in football.
Yeah.
So there you have that. And there's a story. And by the way, I do want to get to this, and we can get this on the way back. But one thing that I was very right on that you questioned me on. I was completely dead on. But one thing that I have to admit in regards to the Rockets is Dallas Mavericks are probably not as good as I thought they were going to be. Because the Rockets just won in a back-to-back home-and-home.
Yeah.
And if you find some Geritol somewhere in the vicinity of the Mavericks starting five, you might want to get it to them.
You and Trapp got on me.
Yeah, I thought the Mavs were going to be a lot. And they may be able to turn it around. They're awful. The Rockets are now 2-1 thanks to them.
But are you a believer in this Rockets team after three games?
No, but they can show me something tonight. If they can beat the Cavs, at home.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be doing something. Beating the Mavs back to back showed me that you can beat old people if they're without their cane.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like I said, Dirk is old, man. Dirk is an old man.
And honestly, he's still playing better than Deron Williams, which is even worse. So your Rockets tonight are at Cleveland. So is the World Series. We can talk about that. We can talk about a lot more. Just give us a call. Let me know what's on your mind. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Hicks is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry till 4. We are here in Meyerland at Saltgrass Steakhouse. It is some unbelievably succulent morsels to be consumed.
Wow.
Yes.
Turning me on now,
Yeah,
Joel.
I'm not even talking about the happy hour over there. I'm talking about the fact that here you can get fed, and you can get fed in a way in which you will leave with the Al Bundy hand in pant, deep sigh of absolute bliss in your tummy. Your boiler room will be exactly pleased when you leave this place after consuming a meal here. They have unbelievable specials from 4 to 6 p.m. on the early dinner menu. They have a happy hour going on every Monday through Friday. Come on in and check out Saltgrass. We are here in Meyerland. You can say hi to us. We're here till 4 o'clock. Before the break?
Yeah, I told the story about the girl grabbing my butt. Yep. And Dr. Dre on 290 was nice enough to tweet out that, oh, so this chick is a chubby chaser. That's not cool. That was inappropriate. That was uncalled for, Dr. Dre on 290.
But is it accurate?
Well, yeah, it
just
really
throwing,
is.
I mean, and you are still a strong safety. You are now forever the strong safety.
I am
but
the strong
at the same time,
safety. That's
self-proclaimed.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. Quentin Demps and I, same body type. Same height, same weight. So pretty much we're the same.
So essentially, if you could just put Barry in a full uniform,
yeah,
but he would never have to run, he'd be in the NFL. It's that simple.
You know what? If I played strong safety, the Sports Center would be – we don't know why, but we keep hearing these shrill screams coming from the field. It would just be me running around screaming like a girl. They would be like, why is this man out there screaming like a woman? That would be my whole deal with strong safety.
Or
yeah,
people would be saying, why is the Penn State kicker trying to play free safety after throwing
exactly.
it out there? What
exactly.
is going on?
Yeah. Oh, look, Randy Bullock. He turned himself into a strong safety. How
Boy.
Nice. El Jefe said, all I did when I met Barry is funny after a show was talk to him about working on the radio and working IT. Yeah, because I used to be in IT before I did this. And, yeah, we talked about that. And props to Josh for never grabbing my butt while we had that conversation. Good on him.
But also understand that the man drives an unmarked squad car.
He does.
So if he did, he could probably get away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no one's pulling him over. He's made very clear the fact that he's gone 85 by a marked squad car. And because of what he drives, he's getting away with it.
Ubaldo Jr. said, speaking of lazy, I once used my FedEx uniform as a costume. I got you a package, ma'am. I like this.
Wow.
This is creative.
I hope Justin Timberlake isn't delivering that package based on that one.
But. I mean, it's lazy, but that's smart. Like, you can't dress up as a radio guy. You can't go to that. Well,
long as we can snipe a couple of headsets, you can.
No, because then they'd be like, oh, you a head coach?
No, because you wear the ESPN
coach?
T-shirt.
Oh, okay. I got you. Do you watch SportsCenter at night with Scott Van Pelt?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Dude, Scott Van Pelt was like a really popular Halloween costume this
year,
which I thought was very creative.
Have you seen? He's done it to himself. I mean, he's created a brand for himself.
Yeah,
he's got his own logo.
Yeah,
yeah, and SVP. Have you seen SVP? And it's crazy because every show they get people that tweet in pictures and send pictures where people look unbelievably close to Scott Van Pelt in some of the craziest places in America, and it's very cool to see.
Right. Somebody, I think this is for me. I don't know. I think this is, they might think this is a back page thing. But somebody texted in and said, I saw your ad. Are you still available? Is that like a Craigslist back page thing? I don't know what that means. That's weird.
I don't know, but based on the fact you're talking about butts and doorbells and back doors, I think that it had to be for you.
Yeah, I think so too. You're catching some heat on the text.
About what now?
You're not going to like this.
Of course
I heard.
Not.
By the way, we got to talk about this.
Oh boy!
I heard you got into a Twitter skirmish. I need to know what's going on. But this is reminding me of this. Somebody said that when will Joe?
Oh, I mentioned it on the air.
Yeah. When will Joe give it up? Five of the top 15 are in the SEC now.
Season's not over, people. I keep telling you. And they continue to keep playing each other. So relax. Can we just let it die till the end of the year?
Okay.
By the way, my Badgers won another big win. They're climbing.
No one cares.
I do.
No.
Okay, so let me get your take on this.
What is this?
Because you know what? El Jefe,
you're out there,
Yo
blocking,
Adrian.
Trolling.
I didn't block. I got blocked.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously, you know, and you probably in your own secret way had joy at the Packers lost a tight game this weekend.
No, I don't care about the Packers.
So, and I do,
anyway.
As you know. So, by the way, Adrian, Doc, all you people, I'm going to get this out again because I need you guys to do some work for me for a change because we work for you every day. But this is the scenario, okay? So the Packers lose.
All right,
not
go ahead.
You, but yeah. I mean, okay, so here's the deal. The Packers lose. Mm-hmm. I obviously care a lot about the team, and I talk to a lot of my guys that that are back home and around the country that we grew up Packer fans. And I also watch a lot of the blogs and catch up on a lot of the news. Well, there's a particular guy who has a blog and a Twitter account, at Packers Notes.
Okay.
So after the game,
Michael Rodney,
that's the guy, right?
All right.
So he initially starts blowing his own horn, telling everybody, you know, I can see the Packers' remaining schedule and see them winning 10 to 12 games. But then again, I just don't feel it. And I've been right just about every single time I've looked at this team over the years. And so they're not. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, okay. So then he had a couple more things where he was basically breaking his hand, patting himself on the back enough. So I finally just I tweeted him and I just said, hey man, seriously, are you like the black cloud or are you really legitimately a fan of the team that you blog about? Because it seems like it's always negativity. And he's like, I'm always right. And people need to realize that. And I go, so don't you think that people follow you because they respect the fact that you give them information? And if you're always right, you don't have to tell everybody you're right because they know that. That's why they follow you. He goes, thanks a lot. Bye. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So he just like that snaps. So I sent him another tweet. That just basically said, wow, man, I mean, as a professional that's doing something like this and putting yourself out there, I would accept that you could take feedback and be cool with it.
Yeah.
But I said, my bad, I'm sorry. I looked, and he didn't get it. So then I, like, go to – and it says, I'm sorry, you've been blocked from this guy. And I'm going, who does that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we take enough punishment every single day from our listeners.
I'm looking –
I mean, the text line is the personal hate Joel line. I get that.
At Twitter, someone just put my head –
that was the used to be the quarterback.
The Kentucky quarterback.
Yeah, from Kentucky, the big 280-pound guy.
I got to retweet this. Go, that Barry is funny.
So anyway, I told everybody yesterday, look, if you're that sensitive, if you're that big of a wuss, and I didn't even, like, cuss at you or take a personal shot at you.
Well, Joel.
I told everybody, and some of the guys yesterday, and I can bring them up for you,
uh-huh.
Some of the things that some people did decide to send at Packer Notes were extremely funny in maybe referencing that he might be a little bit.
What?
Too sensitive.
Oh. Yeah. But, so now you've got like a hit squad. You've got like this goon squad.
We all do. Look, our shows do. We know who our loyal followers are.
Yeah, but you can't be sending them out to go.
Oh, yes, you can.
Well, what were you going to do when you and I got into it on Twitter? Then what do we do?
Well, then it would be ours, mine against yours. It would be, you know, we would have like, it'd be like the Warriors, the old movie, The Warriors. They'd be showing up in baseball uniforms, clinking bottles,
yeah.
And ready to go.
All right. Well.
So, if you asked, I had to. I'll share you the story.
Well, that's good. It's good to see you running fools on Twitter. I like this.
My sister's doing the dirty work for me back in Wisconsin, too. She's like, yeah, I'm following that guy now.
Uh-oh.
I'm watching. And he's not saying anything right now.
You
I said,
got a whole.
Maybe he went into hiding. I don't know.
You got the whole troll squad going.
Absolutely.
I like this.
Absolutely. We
all
take
right.
care of biz back in Cheesehead country.
What is the guy's name that played for Kentucky? Jared Lorenzen.
Jared. I was going to say Jared
Lorenzen.
He actually had more than a cup of coffee with the New York Giants,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, someone put my face on his body, and it's not acceptable, but it's pretty damn funny.
He actually was quite the arena football player. Like, you couldn't bring the guy down. It's like Peebles wobbles, but you can't fall down.
Yeah. That's like, is that really something you hang your hat on, though? Hey, you know, back in the day. Daddy was
tell you what,
the arena
whether you go with
player.
Your WWE motif or we go to the greatest MMA fight of all time,
uh-huh.
You put the Penn State kicker against Jared Lorenzen and you let him go, baby.
I would pay to see that.
That would be some good stuff. That would be pay-per-view right there.
Absolutely.
That would be big stuff. All right, you know what else is big stuff? We're rolling through a show here at Saltgrass and Meyerland. We got about a half hour left, so if you want to join in on the conversation, hit us up on Twitter or get us at 713-780-ESPN where you can call us and or you can text us. And we'll be sure if it's worth anything, we'll get it out on the show. We appreciate you following us. We'd follow you, too, and we would never block you. ESPN 97.5. Oh, here we go.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, who sometimes jumped the gun, but that's even before Barry gets his butt cheeks fondled.
What?
Or his back doorbell pressed. We are here up until 4 o'clock, and we are here to talk sports and more, which we have proven. We had started out with the Quentin Demp Show, which was a neat little treat for us to be on location and get a Texans player that we can talk to and talk about. Very cool. And we've kind of run the gamut since then. We got a World Series Game 6 tonight. We got Rockets and the Cavaliers from the queue tonight with an early tip of 5 o'clock. Talk Monday Night Football and the fact that the Bears did me a huge favor last night and a solid by beating the Minnesota Vikings, keeping Green Bay one game out of the division lead, which makes me happy if nobody else, and I don't care. Barry, we talked about the fact that people like to fondle you on the road.
Yeah, apparently so. That's
most of
thing.
Them are old married couples.
Yes.
But that's
weird.
Beside the point.
It's weird. You got a text. This is Michael Rodney. I know where you live, Joel, Joselle, Joel, Josha.
It's Joel if you'd like to get yes. it straight, Mike. And by the way, I'm not worried
Angelina
because
Joel.
Somewhere between where you are now and my house, I'm pretty sure you'll get blocked because
yeah.
that's what you do.
Right.
But I don't care. My sister's listening in Wisconsin, and she decided to send me his report from the Falcon game because I care. I thought he might have mentioned me or given me a shout-out. Then I'd have loved it and went to the station and said, look, we're getting publicity all over the place. Instead,
right.
I just got his black cloud in yeah. writing. I don't need that.
Somebody had a question. Does the Texans win versus the Bears look better or the Vikes loss look worse?
I think the Vikes loss looks worse.
That was from A, the only black man in the Fae is how he signed it. I don't know what that means.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does the Texans win versus the Bears look better,
I think,
or the Vikes loss look worse?
I think
worse?
The Vikings looks worse. I think the Bears still are a bad team. They still have 6 losses.
Yeah.
But they maybe are starting to figure a few things out. Plus, they finally got jacked up on a national TV game instead of getting jacked all the time. And Jay Cutler, look, I got to give him his props. Jay Cutler, as a game manager last night,
yeah.
did every – I mean, he made some tough, tough throws, moving in the pocket, splitting double teams. And I thought this was going to be much ado like the Cowboy game, where I thought the Eagles were going to be in control for all of it, and then the Cowboys won in overtime. I saw that happening with the Bears last night. Hey, the fact that the Bears did a solid – their defense looked good. They got a big win, so more power to them. I don't think it helps the Texans yet. I think the more important link for the Texans is just make sure that they use the bye week to get the receivers and quarterback on the same page.
Yeah.
And take care of your division games.
You're in
the playoffs then.
Yeah, I feel like the Vikings, and I don't know, maybe it's just I'm jumping the gun or being overreactionary radio guy, but it feels like they're fading a little. Like the fact that their offense has been so inept might be catching up to them because the defense isn't going to be able to hold up.
Yeah.
For all 16 games and be perfect every game.
Your boy got hurt again last night.
Yeah, you're going to need some offensive output. And it's like, you know, we said before, for the first couple of games of the season, they were only averaging a couple yards per carry on the ground. I don't know what it is now, even though I'm the stats guy. I should look it up.
You should.
But it just feels like they're fading a little. And I don't know. I mean, based off of that, I think that the loss to the Vikings is worse than the win over the Bears. The Bears isn't a good football team. They're just not a good football team.
I just think maybe the Sam Bradford's catching up with Sam Bradford, too.
Yeah.
You know, he got off to a hot start. But as you said, you know, offensively, when you lose Adrian Peterson, Ryan Khalil, they lost a couple more offensive linemen again last night. And of course, they had lost Teddy Bridgewater. So overall, the fact that you continue to lose guys, your defense can only hold up for so long. And Xavier Rhodes got dinged up again last night. Injuries are catching up with the Vikings. They still have Green Bay's got them at home. They got a tough schedule. They still got to play Seattle. They got to play Dallas, I believe. I know they got to play Dallas. I think they have to play Seattle. But I know their schedule gets tougher, too. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I don't think Minnesota is who people thought they were 2 weeks ago. Not to say that they're bad. But I think this makes Dallas look like the cream of the crop right now, as much as it pains me to say it. But it looks like Dallas, at least for the time being, again, we'll judge it at the end of the season, much like the SEC. But I think Dallas right now, you have to say, is the best team in the NFC.
So the last two games, the Vikings have dropped to the Eagles and the Bears. They've scored a combined 20 points, 10 points in each game. They've given up 21 to the Eagles and 20 to the Bears. So I think it's one of those things where you're going to need more offensive output than 10 points to be able to continue to compete at a high level in the NFL. That's just not going to cut it. So I don't know what they do. I always use the phrase when it comes to guys like Sam Bradford or even rookies that are doing well, like Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott, that they'll regress to the mean. They'll come back to the pack because they've been playing over their head the first couple of weeks of the season. So I can't say that I didn't expect this. I mean, it's Sam Bradford, you know. It's not Tom Brady coming out and playing bad or like Aaron Rodgers playing
Carson
bad.
But you mentioned Carson Wentz. Wouldn't you expect that Dak's got to come back to the pack a little bit too?
I think you saw that in the Cowboys
starting,
game.
I think,
yeah, I think he played. He didn't have a good game. He finished good.
Right.
But he didn't have a good overall game. So I think you're starting to see that a little bit. And you're seeing it with Bradford. And then I think the opposite is true of somebody like Aaron Rodgers. He's going, you know, he's not playing well right now, but he's going to go back. He's going to find it again.
I'm going to say
this. I mean, a guy like Aaron Rodgers
just
doesn't lose it and then lose it for good.
No, but they lost that game, but he looked like the old Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he took three guys that never caught a ball in the NFL before,
yeah,
and he gave them all touchdown passes.
Yep.
I mean, and that's what you like to see, the fact that, you know, from the quarterback position, the Texans can understand and feel the pain because you need that guy to be at a certain level. Brock, you're hoping that he does blossom into that. Aaron, you know what he can do.
Yep.
You just have to see it get back to where he was, and I think he showed that last week. Even in a loss, I think that was a good sign for the Packers. But you look at it and you say, okay, so then the cream of the crop right now in the NFC, Cowboys, everybody else seems to be down. Carolina blows out or was blowing out and won against Arizona, which no one saw coming because Carolina's been so bad. Arizona's been a disappointment. Seattle, Russell Wilson doesn't look right, but they only have two losses. Green Bay has three. So the NFC is pretty much wide open. The AFC, Pittsburgh without Roethlisberger, and Denver without any really offense now that C.J. Anderson's out. It looks like it's New England's to lose. They're just going to run away with it.
Yeah, again. And, you know, Buffalo's now at 500 at 4-4 after starting off well. They've lost two in a row. The Steelers have lost two in a row. The Ravens, that whole AFC North.
Ugly.
Yeah, not good at all. Other than the Steelers at 4-3, there's not a winning record in that division. You know, the AFC South speaks for itself. The Texans, as much as we love our Texans, they might be the worst 5-3 team in the NFL right now because they can't win the big game. And I like that Quentin, you know, he had some pushback, but I think at the end, yeah, part of it is that they're on the road losing those games, but they're losing to good teams.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen sometimes in the NFL. But they've got, you know, they're just like the rest of that division. They've got quarterback play that's not up to par, even with, you know, Andrew Luck. And then I think the strongest division by far in the AFC is the AFC West. Even with the Chargers at 3-5, they didn't look good this last game. But that's a team that right now could very easily be 6-2 instead of 3-5. So I've said that it's not going to surprise me if both wild card teams come out of the AFC West.
I agree with you completely.
And, you know, so yeah, there's right now, man, it's Dallas and New England and everybody else. It feels like, I mean, again, there's some two lost teams out there, the Seahawks and the Vikings, but you don't get the same feeling of confidence that you get when you watch the Cowboys play and when you watch the Patriots.
And I say this biasly, but they don't scare anybody, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But if you got a playoff game and Aaron Rodgers is right looking across the line of scrimmage at you, you'd be more worried about that than you would about some of the teams right now sitting with two losses in the NFC. And that's like saying Ben Roethlisberger, if he's at the helm of the Steelers, they're a totally different team. Just ask Antonio Bryant. Antonio Bryant, who's only caught touchdown passes from Ben Roethlisberger, realizes just how important Big Ben is to that team.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in Dallas, don't be so quick to choose one or the other. Be thankful you got both, because if Dak does start to come down, it's a lot easier just throw Romo in there healthy than it is to say, hey, we got rid of him because we wanted to make sure Dak knew it was his team, and then Dak fell off the planet and the rest of the team was ready to go, and you don't get to where you think you can get to.
Yeah, we got a text. Somebody had a question. It says, I'd like to get y'all's opinion on Jay Cutler completing 20 passes for 252 yards versus Brock completing 20 passes for 180-ish. I mean, I don't think that it's worth comparing. I mean, you're comparing – it's apples and oranges, really. It's opponents. It's game plans. There's
right.
The fact of the matter is Brock Osweiler has to play better, and he has to play better for four quarters. I mean, you know, putting something together on the last couple of drives of the game to pull one out of your rear, isn't the same as being competent and steady and reliable throughout, you know,
isn't
a four-quarter game.
What the lady was trying to do on the road?
She was trying to pull a,
yeah,
something out
I
of
I would
the...
say this.
Somebody said she was checking my oil. that's very true.
I would throw this question back at you. All things being considered in that that question we were just asked.
Uh-huh. Cutler
would
versus...
you rather have Jay Cutler or Brock Osweiler to finish out your season with the Houston Texans?
Jay Cutler. Without hesitation, Jay Cutler.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And I would say that simply because of the fact that he's got NFL experience. He's won in this league. And he's more polished as an NFL quarterback than Brock. Not to say that Brock can't get there, but I think for those reasons alone, that's why I would take Jay Cutler. And I agree with you. You know, you're playing different teams, different defenses, different schemes. So it's hard to say that, you know, it's not apples to apples because guys were playing against two different squads. But at the end of the day, look, Jay Cutler won against a team that you anointed the best team at that time defensively in the NFL.
Yep.
If it's not Denver, then it's Minnesota. And Jay Cutler did something that no one saw him able to do and no one saw coming, whereas from a perception of the Texans, everybody preseason saw that as a win.
Yeah.
They were worried about it, and they got it, but was it in impressive fashion? Absolutely not.
Yep.
So we got that out of the way. We talked a little bit more Texans. Now, before we wrap it up, we've got a question for you. If your archenemy, like Michael Rodney, or someone that you just, you know, you've had words with in a comedic way or otherwise, decided to use you as part of the decorations in a Halloween party.
What?
Would it really not be that big of a deal? We'll fill you in a minute, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
And I approve this message.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So the announcer doesn't lie. We wish Nick was here, at least I do. Barry doesn't because he got more food. We've had a great day here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland. It's been a fun experience. We had the Quentin Demp Show. We talked a lot about a lot of things going on, sports and non-sports related.
Gave away some WWE.
Gave away some video games.
2K17 yep, wrestling.
And again, we were treated with such great care by the staff here at Saltgrass and Meyerland.
Michelle is the real MVP.
And don't forget Felicia. Don't forget Felicia.
Yes.
And company, you know, Felicia. Felicia.
But Felicia didn't take care of us. Michelle has taken care of us.
Well, there's still time, Barry. You got a long trip home, and Felicia's staring at you right now with more than that eye that you got on the road.
It is,
those
wow.
Laser beams are ready to shoot right through you.
Felicia, that, wow. If looks could kill.
You'd be DED. How about
she would
that?
Be arrested. Wow.
All right. So I teased this, and since this is our last segment, and by the way, Michelle's now throwing cartons at us.
Yeah.
We want to get to this story to see if it would bother you like it obviously bothered the Golden State Warriors. But LeBron James had his annual Halloween party the other night. And as part of the decorations on the stage, he had a skeleton with a sign that said 3-1 lead. clearly a shot at the Warriors squandering a 3-run lead in the series. Last year in their arena, it still smelled like champagne. I don't think they like that. Steph said that. Warriors guard Sean Livingston told ESPN, guys see it, everybody feels their own way about it. It just fuels everybody the next time they play. So maybe that was LeBron's way of getting back at them. I don't know, but I know that the Warriors' reactions, maybe that shows that they're a little more sensitive than you might think. Because Kevin Durant, who didn't even play in that series, was like cussing and saying, I say check it up. It really doesn't mean to me.
Bleep to me, yeah.
Yeah, all the jokes.
Doesn't mean feces to me.
Right, you know. He said you still have to play it on the court. None of that beep matters until you duke it out on the court. I think they're taking it too far. Look,
everybody's so sensitive nowadays. I mean, it's just a joke. You lost, man. You know what? You know how you prevent that from happening? You win.
Go beat them.
That's it.
And by the way, because you lost to them last year, you went and got Kevin Durant. So it's not like it's the same playing field.
Yeah,
you know, they went and loaded up.
And if you win, then you get to make jokey jokes at Halloween. That's just how it goes, man. I don't know. I guess these guys use different things. Some people will use it to motivate them. Some people don't care. It's a joke.
I think it's obvious that the Cavaliers have grown up a lot because I think in the past you would have seen something like, you know, it would be a back and forth. And the Cavs now, it seems like maturity set in, if that's possible, with J.R. Smith and company. But it seems like they got a different frame of mind, and they realize, look, it is a business and it's a grind. But come playoff time, doing what they did, you can't take away from anything coming. Any team coming back from 3-1, like if the Cubs are able to do it, it makes it that much more special and sweet. I was a part of one with the with that Rockets bunch when we went into the Clippers and beat the Clippers in a series. We were down 3-1. It's the greatest feeling in the world when you can come back from being at the depths of the dead where everybody's already basically shut the door on you. And so Cleveland could have gone out and with a lot of bravado and really talked a lot of smack, and they haven't. But they're having fun with it, and they realize, look, at the end of the day, they know it's going to be decided on the court, right?
Yeah, of course. Again, it's I think it's just LeBron poking fun and the Golden State Warriors being overly sensitive, man. It's just it's a joke. It's Halloween. Why do you care? I mean, it has no bearing on what happens on the court. So, I don't know. Someone is hating on you
again
on Twitter.
Yeah,
Scott Deer Park, which I think you responded to.
I did, and I got him pretty good, so I don't care.
He says, stop bringing up Aaron Rodgers. This was to me. Barry, stop bringing up Aaron Rodgers. Pac-Man Joel drops his pants every time. It's embarrassing.
And I said, like you do, when you hear anything about Tom Herman or Case Keenum or Navy or SMU, too soon.
That's so wrong.
Too soon.
So
wrong. Boop, 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 boop.
You guys don't fight. Not in front of the kids.
No.
Please,
okay.
Not in front of the kids.
No, and then he said,
so
I didn't drop my pants, and
yeah,
I said, look, I wear shorts.
Yeah,
so
y'all don't fight.
No, it's fine.
So are you watching? Are you flipping back and forth between both games?
I am. But, you know, the good thing is the cool thing is with the Rockets with the early start, I get home when you're basically getting to 1960, and I get to watch Rockets Cavs.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, in the fourth quarter, I'll be flipping back and forth, and then get the rest of the evening to watch the World Series. Which
so
is cool.
Do you listen to the Rockets on the radio now that you're no longer a part of it? Or is it something that
it's like
watching someone bang your sister. You're just like, nah, I can't do it.
Yeah, I have. My sister's listening, by the way. She knows how to reach you. You know what? It is different for me.
Yeah.
But also,
I'm sure you're very judgmental about it too,
right? I can be.
Oh, I bet.
But my boy Craig, my partner for the last 8 years, is now doing half the games on TV. Tonight's his first game on TV filling in for Bill Worrell. So it's different for the city of Houston. But for me, I'm always curious to see how Craig does and see how he makes that transition.
Are you
from
still
radio
friends
to
with
TV.
Him?
Oh, yeah, very, very good
okay.
friends. Yeah,
that's
he's a
good.
Great guy.
That's good.
Yeah, and
so
I want him to do you do a great job because he works his tail off. And I hired Craig as an intern. So I love to see Craig do well. It's just the thing that he's got to concentrate on now is, and this is Broadcasting 101, but when you're on radio, you're painting that visual picture for someone that can't see, so you're giving them every detail. On TV, the color commentator is supposed to be the guy because you can see everything, but yet Craig has to make the adjustment because he's still trying to give you, like, what color the towel is when they're going to timeout.
Right.
And Matt Buller's the guy that pays the price there, so it'll be interesting to see how they do
that. You know,
that.
I that drives me nuts about listening to the Astros, which, by the way, them getting rid of Ashby.
Did you like that?
Huge mistake.
Yeah, I thought Ash was really good.
I loved Ashby and Jeff Blum together calling
too.
A game. It was a good listen to watch, you know, while you're watching the game. I really enjoyed it. But I'm not a fan of the Astros radio team just because I think they take it they're very dry for me. But two,
except for Blummer.
When he does radio, yeah.
You said radio.
Yeah, but one of the things they do that drives me nuts is they just get overly descriptive when, like, even just the uniforms. They're like, they're with the blue tops and the orange letters and the white pinstripes, and several of them have their top button undone. And it's just like, dude, just give me the colors.
Robert
and move
Ford
on. Like,
is big on giving way too much detail,
especially for the uniform. So I hope Craig doesn't do that. I hope that a little bit of information is good, but there's a point where it's overly saturated. But I've made it. Everyone that knows me or has listened to me before on the radio knows I'm not a big fan of the Astros.
So we had,
maybe you should go do that. Maybe you should apply.
You're just trying to get rid of me so you can take this whole thing over. I understand how you do it. There is a method
is
to your madness.
Not
I
the
get
case.
That. I totally get that.
I want to see you can do both. I want to see you back in the game.
I would love to do that. That would be fun.
Yeah, well, you're a baseball guy.
Well,
it makes sense.
The thing that's cool is with this show is I've been able to show that I do more than just – I mean, I think early on when you and I even were going back and forth on things, there was a time when I got sensitive on things because of the fact that, like, even with the SEC comment, simply because I've been known as just and labeled as just a basketball guy.
Sure.
So it's like I'm trying to establish, hey, I know baseball, I know football, I've followed sports my whole life. And that's a different thing.
And plus, you didn't know how to take me.
I didn't.
You
I mean,
didn't know
look, we were thrown into the fire and
yeah,
never even shook hands before.
Yeah.
And it's like, go do this thing. So we love and we learn. Now we're actually in a good groove.
Yeah,
and
now I can stand you.
Yeah, and now I can make dirty jokes and everything and understand it's not all about sports.
That's right.
But I go back to our early shows. We had Jeff Blum on, and I love Blummer on TV. You kind of agreed with me. He adds a little humor.
He does.
He adds a little bit of, like, more of our style.
Yeah.
Kind of millennial style.
Yeah.
And I tweeted him the other night, and he didn't respond because I saw that Ash was gone. I want to know if he's back.
That hurts.
That's big because the Astros are saying they're going to go to a two-man booth, but does that mean Blummer's one of the two? I want to know that because I thought Ash was good. I understand Bill Brown's fading into the sunset, but I think Blummer's the kind of guy you want to have on the broadcast, especially when you got a boring game and there's like a blowout one way or the other. Yeah. You need someone that's going to carry it a little bit with some humor.
Have some fun. That's what it's about to me.
Well, it'll be interesting. How about this tomorrow, too? Watch the Rockets game at least a little bit tonight. Let me know what you think about Craig Ackerman, the new Bill Worrell on TV.
Oh, I'm definitely watching.
As he and Matt Bullard go to do their thing. Don't listen to the radio. It's tough to listen to right now. Hopefully,
who's doing the play-by-play on the radio?
Matt Thomas is doing play-by-play.
Oh, okay.
Adam Wexler doing studio.
Oh.
Pre-hap and post.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to rate that as well. We're happy to talk about it.
Sure.
But, hey, look, I can be objective, I think. Anyway, we've had a good time here at Saltgrass and Meyerland. We appreciate all the love. People stopping by. Quentin Demps was in the house. That was fantastic. We covered a lot of sports, a lot of entertainment. Big thanks again to the staff here at the Meyerland Saltgrass. They're great. They took great care of us. Hopefully they'll take great care of you. 4 to 6 p.m. tonight, they will be having the early dinner hour. Stop in for that in happy hour. We got some of the beautiful people at the bar that are partaking in some beverages. So stop in, say hi, and get a really good top shelf drink. Don't drive home. There's always Uber. We'll drive it home for you, and we'll be here tomorrow, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.